like to welcome all of you on this Sunday afternoon. And Lord is here, and I pray that you are expecting to hear him. Is anybody expect to hear him? Can you say amen? Praise God. We shared probably the best known verse of the Bible, arguably the theme of the Bible, John 3:16 last week. And I want to continue John 3:16 on. And can we recite that? For God so loved the world. Remember we talked about that? God so loved the world. Autos. It just makes that word love different. So loved the world. Okay, referring to verse 14 and 15. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. If you love, it's impossible to not to give, right? So whoever believes in him, it's believe in him, shall not perish. That's salvation in negative expression, okay? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life, okay? That's verse 16, probably the most known verse in history, human history, but I want to follow through what Jesus said afterward to explain John 3:16. And presumably, he's still speaking to Nicodemus. Okay, not really sure, but, you know, started out Jesus speaking to one person, Nicodemus. And who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus represented the best of his world has to offer in terms of religion, in terms of education, in terms of success. He is the top of the tops, okay? And to him, because Jesus loved him, for God so loved the world, he said, you must be born again. I know this is the third week that you are hearing this, but I want to continue to say that, actually. You must be born again. Why? Because unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God, or you will not enter into the kingdom of God. And it's the most adamant way of saying any statement. You must, they, be born again. Okay? So, with that as an introduction, today the title of the message is, what follows is that God so loved the world, but you love darkness more. I want to just give you a little bit of background. What Jesus is saying in verse 16 through 21 is all in all red. Those of you who have the Bible, what Jesus has spoken, if it is in red letter, it's all red, which means Jesus is speaking. Who is Jesus in John's gospel? We shared for the last 10 weeks. Jesus is the eternal God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he is eternal God. And he's also Lamb of God. He came as a Lamb of God, which means eternal God, and yet he come to die, because Lamb signifies sacrifice and must die. Not for himself, but on behalf of you. Okay? Even just at that point, I think that's a mystery. The gospel is such a mystery. Eternal God, and he's the Lamb of God. And he's speaking to you not because he hates you, not to condemn you, but he wants to save you. Are you listening? So he's speaking what he's speaking. So what he's about to say, he speaks out of his agape. Do you hear? Okay. And today specifically, I want to talk about why can we believe? Why we don't receive? We talk about unbelief, okay? But love darkness more. Can you think with me, when you love something or someone, that's not something you do in your head. That's something you do in your deep part of your heart, isn't it? I'm talking about real love, okay? When you love someone or something, that is not your head thing. Oh, let me love. It's not that. It's something that is in your deep part of your heart. Therefore, your body, your consciousness, and your decisions, and your time, and your money, and your life gravitates toward that. That's what love is. Loving is. And to attain and to preserve what you love, you will be passionate. You will get upset. And you will be passionate. For what you love, you to attain it and to preserve it, you're going to be passionate. And amazingly, God is saying, you love darkness. Okay? In John chapter 2, the Bible says, Jesus knows all men, and he knows what is in a man. So it's not me speaking. It's not someone who kind of like reads your face speaking. But this is Creator speaking. You love the darkness, and you hate the light. That's a strong expression if you think about it, people. You love the darkness. In other words, you gravitate towards that. To attain it, to preserve it, you're passionate. You're not neutral. We're not neutral. According to Jesus and or God, we're not neutral people. We're not okay people. Okay? We're not okay people. And that's what John 3:16 follow through. So, okay. Okay, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him, okay, it's about believing, should not perish, okay? Do you pay attention to that? What does that mean? We're going to hear word condemned a lot in verse 17, 18. What's a condemn? Condemnation. Very negative term, isn't it? Condemnation is a judicial term. At the court of law, the judge declares you are guilty and the punishment by death has been sentenced. Done. That's what condemnation is. Okay? So, Jesus is saying whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But it's for those who believe. Right? So, following through, actually, let me explain this picture. This is the picture of, it's in Jordan, country of Jordan, in the desert where it represents Numbers 21 story where serpent was lifted up. And that refers to Jesus, right? So we talked about that last week. And verse 17, after 16 is, this is the purpose of Jesus coming. And verse 18 is consequence of Jesus coming. If you could just listen to this. Verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay? There it is, the word condemnation. But in order that the world might be saved through him. In other words, he came. Christianity is about saving you. Are we not saved? Are we not okay? Scripture says, all of us are condemned already. Okay, we're going to see that in verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's salvation in negative expression. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, which means you are not guilty. You are a free person. That's what it means. At the court of law, judicial expression. And then, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Oh, that doesn't feel good. Right? Not only condemned, but condemned already, which means you are condemned now and before, unless Christ was condemned for you. Okay? That's what he's saying. Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Is that what follows John 3:16? I thought John 3:16 was such a beautiful, beautiful message of Jesus. Beautiful gospel. Of course it is. And it is, but this is what follows. Presumably, Jesus speaking to one person, Nicodemus, very, very top of his world, but he's saying, you must be born again. That is why he's speaking this to him. That is why. The motive of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus is not to kind of like taunt him at how little you are, but he's speaking this so that he may hear and be saved because he loves him. Okay? So he goes even deeper. Okay? He goes even deeper. Verse 19 through 21 is what really is happening in your heart when you do not believe. Remember we talked about You do not believe because you do not receive? Really? I don't believe because I don't understand. No, the Bible does not say that. You are not ignorant. You are willfully rejecting the truth. God has spoken. God has bear witness. We're going to talk about that. And what about you? Are you listening or are you receiving the witnesses of God? Life, resurrection. If resurrection is real and historical, how do you respond to that? Are you ignorant? You're not ignorant. You heard of it. Scripture speaks about it and preaches about it and speaking to you, and you still do not believe. You know why? Bible saying, because you do not receive. So, what is happening in us when we do not believe? Why can't you believe? Why do you love the darkness and hate the light more? God, who sees right through us, he knows all men and what is in a man. And he speaks it this way. Only three verses. Two verses speaks about darkness, and the last verse speaks about the light. Okay, if you could just pay attention. This is the judgment. This is how God sees you. This is how God sees your heart. The light has come into this world. That's Jesus, right? That's Jesus. Eternal God has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Let me just pause for a second. Jesus came. Eternal God came. The Creator came because he loves you. But you love darkness more than the light. And I already explained, love is not something you do in your head. It's in your deep, deep DNA of your heart. You gravitate toward it. Your word, action, money, time, your decisions just gravitates toward it. But that's how God sees you, sees me before Christ. Can we pause for a second? Oh, no, that's not true. I don't think that's true. That's not me. When you stand before God, hey, God, that's not true. That wasn't the case. I just didn't understand. I don't think any of you could open your mouth like that. Because this is how he speaks to his people, because he loves you. Because he loves you, right? So, the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. There it is. The reason why you love the darkness more than the light is because your heart and your work is evil. What happens when the light shines? It reveals. It gets exposed. And you're so afraid of that. Are you afraid? Verse 20. Repetition, restating verse 19. For everyone who does wicked things, that's human being, every single one of us, without Christ, they hate the light. Now that's another strong expression. Hating is not neutral thing, people. Hate the light and does not come to the light. That's why you do not come to Christ. The Bible is saying. That's really what's happening in your heart. You've been coming to church for years, since birth. The reason you cannot come to Jesus fully is because you hate Jesus. Oh, I don't hate Jesus. Let me illustrate that, okay? We had a Bible study this week, and this illustration kind of worked. I'm not sure whether it's going to work with this crowd. But let's say I'm married, okay? I am married, actually. Okay, I'm married. And I tell my wife, we've been married for 31 years, hey, Ellen, you are my first lady. You are it. You're my wife. And then I go out from Monday through Saturday, spend all my time and all my money with another woman. Hey, Ellen, you're my number one lady. You're number one lady. I love you. Can I just ask you, do I love her? No. I despise her. I'm humiliating her. Isn't that what I'm doing? I hope, I don't know whether that illustration worked. For older folk, it worked, okay? If it's not working, if it is working, you're old, okay? We say we love God, and we spend all our time and all our money, all our effort elsewhere. We do not love him. We despise him. We hate him, okay? We hate him. God is speaking to people, to you and I. You know why you don't come to me? Because you hate me. You hate the light. Okay, right here. You hate the light and does not come to the light. Why? Because his works should be exposed. John MacArthur describes this picture like this. Okay, it's not me or it's not Asian thing. It's John MacArthur describing. When you pick up a rock, okay, and then there are bugs underneath that's been sitting there or living there for I don't know how long. You pick up a rock, and these bugs, what do? They run frantically toward the darkness because they're exposed. And that's how you are, we human beings, when the light shines upon us. Can you picture that? You're like a little bug. When the rock is picked up, and you're running for the darkness frantically. You don't even know where you're going, but you just want to be in darkness. You know why? Darkness covers your darkness. Okay? Let me just, I thought about this, meditate about this yesterday, a little bit more deeply. What it means to love something. We love darkness. Love something means, love darkness means we enjoy darkness. When you love someone, you enjoy it. When you love someone, you have affinity toward it. You have a natural affinity toward the darkness. When you love someone, when you have a choice, you prefer darkness. When you love someone, you feel comfortable with darkness. Are you listening? When you love someone, you want to do darkness. You want to think about darkness, so you think about darkness. Can I just ask you? Nobody stays blank. What do you think about? When you're in darkness, when you love darkness, you think about darkness and you do darkness. When you love someone, I love something, your heart is set on that. Your heart is set on, rooted in darkness. When you love someone, that's your companion. Darkness is your companion. When you love someone, you're attached to what you love. And darkness, you're attached to. Something I thought about this week. What about hating? When you hate the light, what does that mean that you hate the light? I hate the light. What does that mean? Probably like just opposite of it. Very similar. Every time I think about it or him or her that I hate, I get very upset. When you think about the light, you get upset. Okay? And you do not want to approach him. Okay? You don't have the affinity toward it. And when you hate someone, you do not have the desire for it, okay? When you hate someone, right, you want to destroy it. You want to destroy the light. That doesn't sound very neutral, does it? When you love something, you do not enjoy it, okay? When you love something, you are very uncomfortable. When you're in the light, you become very uncomfortable. When truth is spoken, you're very uncomfortable, okay? When you love someone, when you hate someone, he's your enemy. God is our enemy. Scripture speaks about that. You know why? Because you hate him. When you hate someone, you are completely detached. You just don't have any connection or association. And Bible says, you love the darkness. Did you know that? And this is not pastor speaking. This is not someone who knows about this life speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus, the Lamb of God, speaking. He's not speaking to you, not to humiliate and crush and destroy you, not to condemn you, but he wants to save you. He wants you to know that he was condemned for you. Do you hear it? But we still, like a little bug, we pick up the rock, like right now, pick up the rock, and all you want to do is hide. Why? Because in the darkness, you have a natural affinity toward it, and in the darkness, your darkness will be covered. Can I just tell you something, though? Unless your darkness is exposed, there is no life. If your darkness is exposed, your sin is exposed, in Jesus, you have life. Okay? Let me illustrate that. Okay, let me explain that. In John chapter 8, which is a few weeks or month later, we'll be talking about, there's a story of a woman who was caught the act of very adultery. It was a trap. Can you imagine? You get caught, your adultery. By the way, it will be caught. Okay, absolutely. Okay, you get caught of your pornography, your sexual relationship. This is a sexual sin, right? So it was early in the morning. Jesus was in the Jerusalem temple. So picture, this represents God. And the Son of God was there preaching with the crowd. And you were arrested by these religious people. You were caught at the act of adultery. So could you imagine with me, what do you think was her hair, the condition of her hair? Really neatly combed? Probably not. It was like a mess. What about the outer garments? Do you think she was well-dressed? Probably not. She barely covered herself, probably, because she was caught at the act of adultery. And probably dragged over to the, in front of the temple, in front of God. Can you imagine the humiliation? Oh, like I think about it. Can you imagine your act of adultery stand before Newhart? I mean, even this will be difficult, wouldn't it? So she was brought before Jesus and brought before the crowd, but most importantly, brought before God, right? Jerusalem temple. And people were saying, you know, according to the law, she needs to be put to death. And how do we kill her? We throw rocks at her, stone to death. And that was the right law. And that's what she deserved. So they pick up the rocks. What did Jesus do? WWJD, right? He bent down and writing, I don't know what he was writing. And what do we do? And then he gets up. He said, those of you who do not have sin, let you be the first one to throw a rock at her. If I say that, you'll throw it at me. But because Jesus, with the authority of God spoken, one by one, they dropped their rocks. And they could not condemn even this woman who deserves condemnation. You know why? Because they were guilty. You know why we condemn others? You know why we hate and backbite others? Because we do not know God. We don't. So one by one, they all left. Now picture with me, it was early in the morning. One woman who was caught at the act of adultery, and Jesus, eternal God in flesh, and the Jerusalem temple, and that's all there is. She stood standing alone, condemned in front of God. That's the picture of how it's going to be when you stand before the Lord, by the way. Everything will be exposed. But her adultery was exposed. And Jesus spoke first. Woman, where are the ones who are condemning you? She barely looked around, and there is nobody. There is no one. No one here. No one is condemning me. And then Jesus speaks an amazing statement. Neither do I condemn you. You know, I love these stories, but just like Numbers 21 story, it sounds incomplete, doesn't it? Neither do I condemn you. He just forgives just like that. What about justice? What about this sin? But neither do I condemn you. Go, sin no more. And she was forgiven. The point I'm trying to make is, if your sin is exposed now, you will live. But if it is exposed at the final judgment, you will not live. Okay? Now, the part about that, you know, that story in John chapter 8 sounds incomplete, but it gets completed. Just like Numbers 21 story. Just like John chapter 3, verse 14, just as Moses lift up the serpent, Son of Man must be lifted up. That sin was placed upon the Son of Man, and he was condemned, so that her condemnation will be removed. So it gets completed. It does get completed. God brings justice on the cross upon his Son. Do you hear it? If you read these verses, there are a couple of words that kind of sticks out. One is light and darkness, love and hate. That's Johannine language. Light, darkness, hate, love. There's no really middle ground. And the Bible is saying, and God is indicting, you love the darkness. We're not neutral people. You may be a little bit more better person than me, but inside of God, you love darkness. You gravitate toward it. You feel comfortable. We're like a little bug when the rock is picked up and we frantically just runs away to darkness. You know why? Because you're so afraid that your wickedness, your sin will be exposed. Your pornography will be exposed. Your greed will be exposed. You're so afraid. Are you afraid? It'll be exposed, people. Okay? So, this is the judgment. Light has come into this world. And people love the darkness rather than the light. Not more than the light. So, hate this, love this. Or you love this, hate that. Isn't that how Jesus speaks? You either love money or God. You love one and hate the other. You treasure one and you despise one another. A lot of times you are fooled in our contemporary Christianity. It is normal to just kind of like flux around all the time. I don't think that's true. I think when the Spirit of God is reigning, we begin to love Him more. How many of you agree with that? Would you say amen? That's what the scripture says, even if you don't agree. Right? One of the signs of truly born again person, the love and hate changes. It does. You begin to hate sin. You begin to hate darkness. Doesn't mean you don't sin, but you hate sin. You know why? Because you love God. You used to hate God. You were used to despise God. Now, God miraculously resurrected your soul. So you, instead of hating God, now you love God. Do you still sin? Yes. Our residual flesh, our weakness, at times we sin. But over the next 20, 30, 40 years, and that's continued to be the case on an equal level or getting worse, doesn't make sense at all, people. Doesn't make sense at all. Okay, so let me continue. But everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. I want to explain verse 17 and 18. The purpose of God sending his son is to save us. Aren't you glad? We're not okay. According to scripture, we are already standing condemned. Already standing condemned. Okay? Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Meaning, you're already judged and you are not guilty. At the court of law, and God is the judge, and God has all the records. He sees it and he's saying, you are not guilty. Can I just ask you, how is that possible? How is that possible? Oh, I didn't steal anything. I didn't sleep with anyone. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Is that why you're not condemned? You could never claim that. No, it's not that. In the perfect sight of God, you could be not condemned if and only if your sin is condemned on someone else. And that's his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it? What about those who do not believe? They are condemned already. The word that bothers me, it should bother you as well, is not only condemned, but condemned already. Meaning, your sentence is done. Your punishment is already declared. Punishment by death eternal. That's where you're standing. This is John chapter 3:16 follow-up, people. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to know what is really happening in your heart. What's really going to happen in the future. So you don't do religion and have a false security. But put your full trust in him. Okay? Full trust in him. I want to go to the last verse of John. This is like summary of the chapter. And I want you to look at it because it looks very similar to what we just read. Chapter 3, verse 3-6 says, whoever believes in the Son, which encompasses everybody, right? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John speaks the great truth in a very simple language. But whoever does not obey the Son, a little bit different, shall not see life, but there's more. Not only you not gonna see the light, but the wrath of God remains on you. Which means it is on you already. If you don't have the Son, wrath of God remains on you. Jonathan Edwards writes this so graphically. You know, he was known as one of those speakers who doesn't have any rhetorics. He just read his sermons. From what I read, he just read his sermons, monotone. But he describes this so graphically, so realistically that while he was preaching, one by one people began to repent, and sometimes they began to roll on the floor and began to repent. Because the wrath of God and the fear of God and judgment of God become so real, and I pray that will become real. Because it is real. Unless you understand the wrath of God and the holiness of God, what is grace? What is salvation? What are you saved from? Right? I picture this, the wrath of God. I know we went through Romans entire year, okay? And we talked about how gospel begins with wrath of God. Chapter 1, verse 18, okay? And I picture something like this. Last week, I kind of described it. Picture 2 million people. That's Israelites. How many snakes? 20,000 snakes. And you may be thinking, oh, that's not so bad. 2 million people, 20,000 snake. No, it isn't. Even if there's one, you'll be scared. Can you imagine 2 million people, Israelites in the desert, and there are 20,000 snakes moving around. And they all come after you. Just you. 20,000 bites of 20,000 snakes upon you. That was the wrath of God, wasn't it? Can you even imagine them, people? Do you think the wrath of God is less than that? We underestimate. We despise God, people. We despise God. We sin, we love to sin, we gravitate to sin, we justify sin, we cover up, we condemn. You know why you condemn others? Because to cover up your sin. That's what you condemn others. If you are forgiven, I think you will have a forgiving heart. Right? It's not 20,000 snakes. It's 2 million snakes biting you. I picture, you know, I love waterfalls, and I know I share this oftentimes. When I see waterfalls, I think of grace. At the same time, I think of the wrath of God. Can you imagine stop the waterfall for like a couple hours, Niagara Falls? So the water piles up, just like Joshua's story. And then you release the stoppage, and you are at the bottom of the fall. And the water falls on you, wrath of God. And it continues. And it remains on you. Any moment, it's going to fall. Jonathan Edwards says, any moment, only thing holding you is that grace of God holding you, giving you another opportunity, another service of opportunity. How many times you heard the gospel message? And you reject it. Why? Because you love the darkness more than the light. God, you're number one. You're my first lady. You're number one. And then you go out, spend all your time, all your money on someone else. That's despising God, people. That's despising God. Today, I pray that you would respond today. Not 1 hour later. And I'm going to illustrate this. Not 1 hour later, because you may not have another hour. In 18th century, I think it was 18th century, D.L. Moody, he's a famous American preacher, okay? And I read this week, and I thought it was so, so good. He was preaching on the story of Jesus meeting Pilate. You know, Pilate had a real opportunity to meet Jesus. In fact, he met Jesus. And he really wondered. He wanted to kind of release him, And he has what is the truth, but the message of his message that D.L. Moody was preaching that night was, what do I do with Jesus? What do I do with this Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? And then D.L. Moody, very, very eloquent, very, very powerful, very, very fiery, and he said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a week to think about. I want you to go home. Think about what you heard. Next week when you come back, we're going to deal with what to do with Jesus. Let me pray for you. And he started praying, and the Great Chicago Fire happened. Historical fire. 1,000 people died. Thousands. And many of his congregation members died right there. And he records, that's the greatest mistake I ever made. Next week, it did not even last 1 hour, people. Do you understand that? The fact of the matter is, that is the truth. You are standing condemned. You're waiting for your number to be called. Come on out. Time for execution. And you're saying, let me think about it. You know, we say, let me think about it. It's just too abrupt. Let me think about that. And Spurgeon says, when people say, let me think about it, they're going to think themselves into hell. Charles Spurgeon, can I just ask you, when you say you're going to think about it, do you think about it? Probably not. You gravitate right toward what you love, which is your darkness, where you feel comfortable. And God is speaking to you today, people. God is speaking to you today. You love the darkness. That's why you can't believe it. That's why it is hard to come to Jesus. It's your love. It's your deep love inside of you. Okay? I want to just say, so what is this John 3:16 through 21 kind of teaching us? Just a couple of things I want to show you. There are basically two constituents, God and then you. Could you think with me? There are only two constituents, God and you. What did God do? God so loved you. What did God do? God desires all men to be saved. What did God do? God gave his son. What did God do? God constantly has spoken to you. If he doesn't care, he doesn't speak to you. If you don't care for anyone, you don't text back, right? But he has been spoken to you through the prophets, disciples and apostles, and he has spoken through himself. God bear witness. He actually came. He actually died. He actually was resurrected. People, we're going to be talking about resurrection today in our class. Resurrection is a historical matter. It's recorded. We have eyewitnesses. And he claims that he's God. And it validates and it proves that he's God. What are you doing about it? He bear witness. He has spoken. He loves you. And right now, he's stretching out his hands towards you. Isn't that what he's doing? What about you? He loves you. You hate him. He gave his son. You despise him. He speaks to you. You don't listen. Next week, maybe, right? He bears witness, resurrection, you ignore it. He stretches out his hands to you. What about your hands? Where is your hand? Come on, people. You know why? Because you love the darkness more than the light. You love the darkness more than the light. You hate the light. God speaking to you with his passionate love towards you. What happened to Nicodemus? If this was conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was the top of his religion, right? He was meticulous. He knew the Bible, and he was very, very obedient to the law. Nevertheless, he was a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. He never had the faith. It was all about him achieving. It was all fake. It was a religion. He was a hypocrite. But God loved this hypocrite. No. Nicodemus, no. Not that. Destroy that temple. My body's the temple. You need to put your trust in me, not temple and religion. You need to put your trust in me. And he's speaking to you. And he's convicting him. You love the darkness. That's why you're not receiving it. You want to achieve it. You want to do business with God. You want to give so that you will be able to receive. That's a religion. You can never do it. Put your trust in me. God is speaking to you. What happened to Nicodemus? What happened to this hypocrite person? Probably at his old age. Some of you went to church, I don't know how long. Some of you went to church for 20, 30 years. Are you born again? Seriously, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not, people. You could be the nicest person. I don't think that's quite possible, but you could be. Still, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. That's how God sees it. You know why? Because he has a reason. Because you love the darkness more than the light. You despise God. That's how God sees human being. But amazing part of Christianity is he came for those people. What happened to Nicodemus? Nicodemus was born again. There are strong evidences of that. John chapter 7, he defends Jesus. But John chapter 19, I think, is much more clear evidence of his rebirth, because after Jesus' crucifixion, when he died, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to Pilate and claimed the body. You know what that means? That means Jesus was crucified because he was an enemy to the Rome, which means treason. If you say, I want that body, you're kind of saying, you're basically saying, I have an association with him. But he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that, people. There's a strong evidence that Nicodemus was regenerated, rebirth. Why? Because Jesus has spoken to him here. Are you listening, people? I hear so many people say, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that happened to one man. Ah, I wish God would give me some faith. I wish, more miracles. Jesus resurrected and people still didn't believe. Miracles not going to make you believe. They have the law and the prophets, Bible, and if they're going to believe, even a dead man rise, you're not going to believe. You know why you don't believe? Because you reject it. You do not receive it. Why? Because deep inside, you love darkness. You hate the light. And it's shining upon you right now. And are you going to just run away like a little bug into the darkness? Or are you going to come to Jesus today, people? You need to come to Jesus, not an hour later. Remember the Chicago fire. Remember the Chicago fire. Don't blame anybody. I don't think that'll work when you stand before God. You know, quite frankly, I don't think you will be able to say any word when you stand before God, because it'll be so transparent. Like when you go through x-ray machine at the airport, I don't know what they see, you know? They see what's in me, right? And God's vision is less than that. He knows all men, and he knows what is in a man. But the amazing gospel is he loves you. For God so loved the world. Oh, let me read John 7:7. Jesus said to his disciples, the world cannot hate you, but the world hates me. Wow. Why? Because I testify about it, and their works are evil. When truth is spoken, some people hate it. Who killed Jesus? Hypocrites, religious people. People who are hiding their sins. They don't want their sins to be exposed. Who killed Stephen? Hypocrites, religious people. Who killed Paul? Who killed those who preach the gospel? Those who hate the truth. That's not hating you. Jesus is saying, that's hating me. They're hating me. Just one last quote by John Piper. Okay. Kind of sums up everything we talked about today. The coming of Jesus into this world clarifies that your unbelief, my unbelief, is our fault. Because he testified. He has come. He desired. He stretched out his hand. Okay? And if you do believe, belief is God's gift. We hate him. But now we love him. How'd that happen? Just like the wind. Chapter 3, verse 8. We don't know where it is coming from. We don't know where it's going. Just like the pneuma. But we know wind was here. Now we love him. Right? Which means that if we do not come to Christ, if you don't believe in him, if you put your full trust in him, but rather perish eternally. If you don't believe, you perish eternally. And by doing so, we magnify God's justice. God is just. You're standing condemned. If you don't come to him, it'll be carried out. Okay? But if you do come to Christ, if you put your trust in him, if you receive him, if you look up and live and gain eternal life, we magnify God's grace. I think this really sums up. People, he loves you. He wants you to be saved. But he doesn't want you to be a hypocrite. Deep inside, you are so scared because you don't want your wickedness and darkness to be exposed. Can I just tell you something? It must be exposed for you to live. Bring your darkness to him. Bring your sin to him. John chapter 8. In fact, John chapter 4, next week, we're going to be talking about woman at the well. I want the water. Didn't the woman say, I want the water that I will never thirst. And then Jesus, random, sounds so random. He says, go get your husband. Go get your husband. People, when your darkness is exposed, light shines upon you. And then you will have life. Today, I want you to put your trust in him. Your sin will be exposed. Your adultery will be exposed. It will be exposed. And the Bible says, we are standing condemned. But you know what? He was condemned. He was condemned. He was condemned for you on your behalf. If you look up, you will live. If you hide, you will die in your sin and in your darkness. Come to him today. Let's pray.